You're listening to the News Project podcast for the week of February 8th, 2021, brought to you by GNAT TV. This podcast brings you these stories. Info on Dorset's town meeting. A temporary vaccine clinic opens in Manchester. And the Arlington Select Board reverses course on the appointment of a town clerk and a delinquent tax collector.
Voters in Dorset will have a couple of new items to mull over when they gather for their virtual town meeting information meeting, which will be held at the same time as usual, the Monday evening before the official town meeting day, when Australian ballot voting will occur. This year, that means voters can log into a Zoom meeting that will start at 7 p.m. on Monday, March 1st. For those who haven't already mailed in their ballots, they can drop them off at the town hall, or vote in person on Tuesday, March 2nd, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Mailed-in votes received after 7 p.m. on March 2nd won't be counted, so if you're planning to mail yours in, leave plenty of time for the post office to deliver it. Plans to move the town office to a new location on Raptor Lane, an expansion of the recreation director position from part-time to full-time, and a Dorset Fire District bond vote to upgrade the municipal water system will be among the main topics, along with approving a new town budget, town manager Rob Giotti told us in a recent Zoom call.
So the year-to-year expense is up about 3.8%. When you factor in a little bit of an increase in non-property tax revenue, the impact on taxes we anticipate is about 3.7%. That assumes the grand list stays level. We actually anticipate that the grand list might go up a little bit. So that would mean that 3.7% increase may be a little bit lower, but we tend to be a little more conservative and we're kind of holding the year-to-year impact on taxes around 3.7%. 2 years ago, we started an effort to bring on a part-time recreation director. We call it the outdoor recreation director position. That position is being flexed out to full-time. So there's money, there's additional funds in the budget associated with making that a full-time position, salary, benefits, all that stuff. In addition, the town finished a Raptor Lane committee process. Raptor Lane is the 300-acre parcel that the town acquired a couple years ago through a bargain sale. We finished a process to look at potential options of uses on the space. One of the options that kind of has come to the forefront was the potential to look at concepts of potentially moving the town office facility over there. So there's money in the budget associated with, architect's fees to produce some concept designs that we plan on, hopefully presenting at this year's town meeting so we can get a feedback, I guess, from the residents as to what they think about the concept, what they think more specifically about the design of the building. The design of the building more specifically is going to be it's a net zero design. So essentially the building is supposed to produce the energy that it consumes, which I think is a good idea, and we'll see kind of how it goes and how it's received. So there's a little bit of money in the budget to look at that and essentially just get feedback and better understand what the opportunity might be to utilize the space at Raptor Lane for a new office.
There's also this bond vote for the fire district that will also be decided, I guess, at town meeting voting. What's involved with that? Is that a bond vote to do more work on the town water system?
Yeah. So it's the bond vote is specific to the Dorset Fire District, which is basically the western portion of Dorset. There's two fire districts in Dorset, East and West, the western portion. And it's specific to the Dorset Village water system. So the bond vote, the total number is around $5 million. And has a host of projects that that includes. It includes system-wide service line replacements. So there's around 180 users on the water system, and this contemplates trying to replace as many of the old galvanized service lines as possible. In addition, there's about a half a dozen locations in town where multiple houses are on very small service lines, and they essentially share a line. Part of this project would be replacing that with a larger, you know, would be a small main essentially. Yeah. And the fire district would then take over control or ownership of that shared portion. And as you know, in conjunction with that, the specific service lines that go to houses would get replaced, and the users would only then in the future be responsible for just the service line. The fire district bond vote will have an informational meeting at 4 p.m. on March 1st. And then the traditional town meeting informational meeting, which is normally we have a floor meeting, that'll happen at 7 p.m. on March 1st. And then voting, obviously, in person March 2nd, that'll be at the town offices in East Dorset. Anybody that knows the town office knows that we... in November, when we voted, I think we could get maybe two or three people in here at once to vote. So we are encouraging people to find the time to hopefully fill out the ballots and mail them back. Obviously, for our staff and visitors alike, we're trying to. It's everything is going to be COVID compliant. Masks are required. Everything's socially distanced. But the more that we can utilize the mail-in option, the safer it really is for everybody. So we are, we will be mailing ballots to every voter in town.
Between the remote information meeting and the mail-in voting option, town meeting will have a different look from normal this year. But in the end, the outcome will be the same: a new budget approved, a new tax rate discussed, and the upcoming year's municipal priorities assessed. For more information, voters in Dorset can visit their town's website at dorsetvt.org. For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. With March town meeting now less than a month away, and town warnings, town budgets, and school district budgets now finalized, GNET TV will be profiling most, if not all, of the 11 towns in our coverage area. We're going to attempt to highlight the major articles or pieces of information voters may want to know about before they, virtually this year, attend online information meetings or vote by mail, as may be the case for many this pandemic year. In one of its first acts of the new legislative session that began in early January, the state legislature passed Act 48, which allows local legislative bodies to require municipal clerks to mail 2021 annual meeting early voter absentee Australian ballots to all active registered municipal voters to encourage absentee voting. It also allows municipalities to postpone their 2021 annual meeting to a later date. So far, both Windhall and Weston have opted to postpone their meetings until later this spring. Windhall plans to hold theirs on April 27th, and Weston is planning to hold theirs on May 25th. Many, if not all, towns will also hold their information meeting electronically or virtually via an online meeting platform such as Zoom. In the past, these information meetings usually launch town meetings with an in-person floor meeting designed to allow residents to ask questions about the proposed town budget and other articles on the town warning. This information meeting is usually followed by voting either at the floor meeting or the following day. This year, some towns are planning to hold their information meetings at the same time as usual, but others will be holding theirs several days or a week earlier. Voters will also be able to turn in ballots in person to their town clerk's office or vote in person on Tuesday, March 2nd, the official town meeting day this year, if they so choose. But if you choose to vote by mail, remember to leave enough time for it to reach your town hall. Ballots received after voting is over on March 2nd will not be counted. We start a review of our local town meetings in Arlington, where both municipal and school district budgets and special articles will be decided by voters. To get the highlights of what will be up for discussion and decision, we turned first to the town administrator, Nick Zayas, for an explanation.
There are really six important articles on this beyond savings and appropriations. First up is, for the first time in recent history, Arlington is having to vote a top-line budget figure, top-line expenditure figures, as part of the town meeting warning. That has to do with being on the Australian ballot. Every town's going to have to do it. But that's new to us. We actually know what the proposed spending level, what the proposed tax level is going into town meeting. And so certainly the board wants the people to vote for the budget that it proposes. And we really, really hope that this budget gives voters a lot of value. Then related to that is the disposal of the really exigently large 2020 surplus. The Arlington Highway Department had a pretty substantial surplus in 2020 because we had to dial back work. We use a lot less materials, we use less labor. And as such, the board was tasked with disposing of the surplus. So with Bendick Crossing currently closed bridge, the board recommended that we put, or that the voters put $50,000 away into the bridges and structures funds for the eventual repair of Bendick Crossing. As well as that, in that same article, that we also would be saving $15,000 for the removal of hazardous trees in the right-of-way. That's emerald ash borer infestation that is now in Arlington, is going to be particularly important in the next couple of years in South Arlington, where there are a lot of ash trees in the right-of-way that are going to become problems. So that's in that. And also there's savings for a new loader, as one of the most important pieces of machinery in town. The failure of the town loader would be something that could cause problems in winter, could cause problems in summer. As such, we were asking the voters to potentially save $25,000 of that exigent surplus toward this. Then, beyond those two budget articles, are four articles that are set to alter the structure of town government in ways that we think are going to make the town more accountable and bring the skill level of town employees up over the long term, as well as smoothing transitions as some of our elected members of town government age and decide at some point they're not going to want to do these jobs anymore and there will be job transitions. Those four articles include the shift of the town clerk to an appointed position, the shift of the treasurer as well, and the delinquent tax collector. Then the fourth article is the abolition of the elected auditor position in town and replacing them with a hired CPA. Those four articles we're seeing as a package to alter the town government in a way that we see is going to make officials both more accountable, but also allow the voters to know that the select board will reliably be seeking out people who have the skills necessary to do this job in an ever-increasingly complex political environment with new regulations, with new standards, with the expectation that every job is done more or less completely on a computer. And so those four positions we see as, and the alteration and transition of these four positions from being furnished by townspeople who may or may not have the skills necessary to do the job really well, to delegating that task to the select board, to find the right people who have the skills to make Arlington really awesome at financial management, at collecting of delinquent taxes, and hiring auditors who definitely know how to audit.
I'm surprised by the appointing a town clerk. When that's kind of unusual, isn't it? I can't think of a single town around here that appoints a town clerk. Usually that's a ballot item.
Certainly the inclusion of the town clerk was done as part of these other four, making clear that we love our town clerk. We don't want her to go anywhere, but we know that when she retires, we want to make sure that someone who's in that position can be democratically accountable in a way that unopposed elections really struggle with. That when there, if a person does have an issue with whoever ends up in that position at some point, that they know that they have a voice other than going and running themselves to make that office better, to serve the people better. And this certainly makes no statements about the people who are currently in these positions. We think that these jobs are all done really adequately, really, really well. And we hope that this is just going to make it so that we can guarantee that there's a means other than elections for the particular position that you can make clear that your opinion on how these offices are run.
How does the tax rate that you're anticipating the budget will require, and how does that compare to last year? Is it roughly about the same, or is there a slight increase or decrease?
With the 2020 surplus from the highway department, we're looking at a year-on-year increase of 1.5% right now in this budget. We are really, really happy with it being 1.5%. If the voters choose not to appropriate the highway surplus from last year to the proposed matters in Article 4, then that number will be even higher. But under the explicit, very, very clear fact that this is a one-year exigent circumstance from 2020 thing, that if that article is not approved and taxes do actually drop this year, which they could if that article is not approved, then they will have to rise to cover expenses the following year commiseratively. So that this is really just shifting taxes from the next budget year to this year. But in doing that, we're looking at less than a 2% tax increase, which I know is less than what I thought when I talked to you before.
After this discussion was recorded, the Arlington Select Board met one more time to finalize the warning and decided to eliminate the two articles pertaining to the appointment of the town clerk and delinquent tax collector. The two remaining articles relate to the appointment of the treasurer and hiring of work currently done by the town auditors. Then we touched base with School Superintendent William Basic, who gave us the rundown on the Arlington School District's budget proposal.
Let's start with the most important thing and talk about the students. There is some very good news that the proposed budget has no cuts at all. We were able to do what we call in the business a pushover budget. So it has all the same great program the Arlington schools have right now, all staff, all enrichment programs. Everything will stay the same as this year, which is good because we were a little worried that we would have to cut some of our budget down in order to recover from the COVID pandemic crisis financially, if you will. That did not occur. So we were able to do a pushover budget. We did realize some cost savings that we implemented last year that came back to help us a little bit this year. So the budget we're presenting is actually lower than the previous year's budget by 0.49%. Not a whole lot lower, but about a half percent lower, which is always nice, and especially in this economy. So we tightened the belt a little bit and we pushed that over. Generally we do talk about tax rates more than we talk about percentages of our budgets. And that is what I'm going to talk a little bit about today is for the taxpayers of Arlington, they're going to have a 4.5 cents tax increase, even though we had a 0.5 decrease in our spending. And the reason for that is pretty simple to explain. It comes by two things. One, there's a mechanism from the state legislature called the property yield. It's a way that they set a tax rate universal throughout the state to kind of get monies back. And that was set lower this year, which actually means if it's set lower, you actually have to pay more as a town. I know it's very confusing. And so 2 cents went directly from the state and the way that they set up that property yield. The second factor to get the other 2.5 cents was there's a common level of appraisal, which looks at the values that the house is selling in Arlington. And over the last couple of years, Arlington's become a very attractive place. We've had many people coming in and buying homes, which obviously drives up the price of homes. So that's a real boom for you if you're looking to maybe put a line of credit on your home or certainly sell your home. Your home values are going up. But as your home values go up,
the CLA mechanism, which goes down as home values go up, appraises the houses higher and you have to pay more tax. So that other 2.5 cents is coming just because home values are going up, nothing to do with school spending or the budget that we presented.
Can I just stop there for a quick second and ask, does that mean that Arlington would need to do a reassessment of its property in order to get the common level of appraisal closer to or at what, 100%?
No, the mechanism to do a reappraisal, if it goes above 80 or above 120, so if as long as it stays within that range, there's no reason to do a reappraisal. So they go up and down every year. I think Arlington is up for a reappraisal in a year or two. There is a mandate, I'm not sure what it is, but a state mandate that every so many years you have to do a reassessment. But the only thing that triggers a assessment would be if it went above 120 or below 80.
And you're nowhere close to that at this point.
No, that would be very rare. I mean, that would be just a huge swing in the economy. The actual CLA, I know that there's a lot of new interest living here in Vermont, and that home prices in the last 6 months have really skyrocketed. But this, it's really done over a four-year average. So it's not we will feel the tax implications of the pandemic because the house values have gone up tremendously in Arlington the last 6-7 months, but that is still factored in over a four-year period. Besides that, we're hopeful people that will come on. I mean, a 4.5 cent tax increase is not great, but it's generally something that's pretty good. And if we look at our five-year trend, it falls right into where we need to be. The reason it also is a 4.5 cent tax increase is because last year, after the town voted on their budget, the legislator can come back as far as June and reset the tax rate. And they actually did come back last June and reset the tax rate, which was 2 cents lower than what we anticipated as a school system last year. So, certainly in the past, and it doesn't feel good, but the taxpayers of Arlington got a tax break, if you will, last year by 2 cents. And you know what the AOE, you know, giveth, the AOE take back. and so this year we're up a little, you know, we're about 4 cents, but we're right. You know, we have a 5-year trend that usually, you know, our tax rate is usually around $1.52. This will be $1.54. So it stays right in that range. We're pretty good where we are. If we could look at a 5-year trend, it's right in line.
When it comes to candidates who are running for public office in Arlington, Select Board incumbent Dan Harvey is running for re-election to his 2-year seat on the board. Current board member Tim Williams has chosen not to run for re-election. Glenn Sherman has submitted a consent form for that 3-year seat and currently has no opposition. On the Arlington School Board, there are 2 seats up for election, with Board Chairman Todd Wilkins running unopposed for his 3-year seat. The 2-year seat on the board will have a race between Jeff Tilley and Dan Wood. All other races will be unopposed. The information meeting for Arlington's voters will start at 6:30 p.m. on Monday, March 1st. Connection information for those who plan to attend it remotely is posted on the town's website. The polls will be open at the American Legion Post number 69 on Tuesday, March 2nd, starting at 10 a.m. and will close at 7 p.m. For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. A new vaccination clinic for the COVID-19 virus is opened in Manchester at the Riley Center on the campus of Burn Burton Academy. Right now, it's scheduled to be open on Fridays through February from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Seniors 75 years old and older are eligible for the vaccines at the moment, which will be administered in 2 doses. They will have already created an account with the State Department of Health and registered and received an appointment date before arriving at BBA. The opening of the new vaccination site reflects an attempt to get the vaccine into the arms of as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, with the goal being to broaden eligibility to the vaccine by the end of the month to those 70 years old and older. Dee Mirvong, a clinic director for the Department of Health, described the process.
The main thing we want to let people know is don't come too early. It's cold outside, and we are letting people in up to 10 minutes ahead of their appointment, but not farther. So it's best to come right before your appointment. If you need handicap parking, we will have you park in handicap. Otherwise, it's a short walk. If you need a companion to assist you, we recommend you bring a companion with you, and we will allow the companion to go through the clinic with you to help you with anything you might need. Takes about a half hour to 40 minutes to come through the clinic, and then we send you on your way, and we ask you to come back 4 weeks later for your second dose. We do not have any missed appointments. People are very excited to get this shot. They've been waiting for it a long time. And we don't have extra doses. There's some rumors out there we might have extra doses floating around. They give us the exact number of doses for the number of people scheduled for today. Yes, our clinic is taking 150 Vermonters through in a six-hour clinic. As our allocations increase around the state, we may bump those numbers up a little, or we may open more clinics. We could do a clinic like this and get 300 people through, but we like to get all our staff and volunteers trained before we do that.
Mark Tashin, the headmaster at Burn Burton Academy, said Burn Burton and its large indoor gymnasium was pleased to help with the vaccine effort.
So Burn Burton has always been, I mean, for years, has been a site for emergency distribution of supplies. You know, that's been part of our statewide participation in, you know, call it disaster planning. And so, we were already identified as a site. And then, you know, with vaccine distribution, the state needs locations where large numbers of people can come through and still maintain distance. And you want to obviously have a lot of volume, air volume, as well as floor space. And so we have both in the gymnasium. And so we got contacted a few weeks ago, and our simple answer was yes. We will absolutely support this effort, and tell us what you need, tell us when you want to do it, and we will make all the adjustments we need to make in order to support, you know, what is a crucial effort, but, you know, nationwide or globally to get past the pandemic.
The vaccination clinic at Burn Burton opened on Friday, February 5th, and at this point, plans call for it to be open the following three Fridays through February 26th. It's possible it could be extended further. The clinic at Burn Burton will supplement the main vaccination site in Bennington County, which is located at the gymnasium of the former Southern Vermont College, which was recently acquired by the Southwestern Vermont Medical Center. This clinic has been open since late December and is open Mondays through Fridays.
Do vaccinations up to 750 individuals per day as supply dictates from the state. So, right now what we've been averaging, per day, yesterday we had over 275 vaccinations. Today is over 300 vaccinations, but we could certainly grow as supply, both increase in registrations, but also supply.
We had a chance to go behind the scenes and speak with some of the people directing the clinic.
Well, we actually started giving vaccines at the end of December when the government released the first doses. I think we gave our first vaccine on December 18th, and it was the healthcare workers, that group of people that we were aimed at getting vaccinated first. So we had this team here worked to get systems in place that would allow all of our healthcare workers at our hospital and in the community to sign up for a vaccine. We developed our own scheduling system and then started giving vaccines on the 18th of December. It was a great day.
In a room off to one side of the gym, we watched the vaccines being prepared.
Rob Sherman, our pharmacy director, and his team here. And as you can see, they're preparing vaccines right now and getting ready for the next batch to go out to the group out in the gymnasium. And this happens all day long from 5:30 in the morning until 6 at night.
The clinic will also have new temporary rooms for the injections.
It's in an effort to keep things more private and more streamlined in the process. So it'll allow our vaccinators to have a dedicated space for each and every patient that comes in. It's a private space, it's a calm space, to make sure that every vaccine is a good experience for them.
After receiving the injections, people are asked to wait for 15 minutes to see if there are any adverse reactions. We had a chance for a brief chat with one of those who had just received their injection.
Went fine.
Went fine?
Yeah, no problem.
And was it easy to make a registration on the website? Was that your job there?
Yeah, that was my job, yeah.
But it was pretty simple and straightforward?
Yeah, it was straightforward. Everything was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so now you're just waiting to see if there was getting a reaction to it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully it's good. Hopefully this stuff goes away pretty soon.
All right. Well, congratulations on getting it done.
Thank you.
All right.
In recent weeks, Bennington County has seen a spike in new COVID cases, making the vaccination efforts underway all the more critical to get the upper hand on the COVID virus. Like vaccine clinics everywhere, they are hoping the supply of the vaccines ramps up so that more people can receive both of their vaccine doses as quickly as possible. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.